Hello, bonjour, and welcome back to La Bonne Heure with myself, Valley, here on CITR 101.9 FM, located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. I am going to be your host for the next hour, during which we will be chatting with Dear God all about their latest album, their inspirations, and plans for the future as well. And right before we get into the interview, here is their cover of Be Quiet and Drive Far Away. Thanks so much for coming in to chat with me today. I'm here with Robert from Dear God, talking a little bit about music, but also getting started with a few fun questions. My first one is what is the best concert you've ever been to?
Okay. That's a good question, actually. I've been at like a lot of concerts. I started going to concerts when I was like, I think I like was 9 when I went to my first concert with my sister, and it was like a Billy Talent and Sum 41 concert. And then when I was like 12, I went to like a Tidal Fight concert. It was like my first like moshing, like I guess hardcore show. I mean, I think like my favorite concerts that I've ever been to was like, one I would say was like Mets at the Opera House in Toronto. They were doing something for TOPS. It was like a Toronto Overdose Prevention Society. And they did it with Fucked Up. And like, just like the Met set was like so insane. It was like a small pit, but I was just like going insane in it. And then like, probably like the craziest show I've been to, or like the craziest shows I've been to, were like the Faith Void shows, like in Toronto. There was like this shop called Faith Void. I only kind of like towards like the last couple years of it like being open. It was just like a super super tight shop where like they just like they like sold records like for like independent like I guess like hardcore bands, and like there's like a any genre, any kind of like small like band that you like haven't heard of, like you could find there. And they sold like merch and shit, but like at night they turned that place into like a venue. And I think a lot of like the Toronto hardcore kids like were going to those shows, and it was kind of like a low-key thing, and like kids would just like throw down there. Like there was like always like some random like fucking like there would be like a super super like heavy like I don't know like the death metal band playing, and then there would be like some like electronic band playing. I don't even know like the different kind of genres that rolled through, but like it was just like a whole mixture of like independent artists, and like the kids there were just so crazy. Like they were just like fucking like it was violent, you know, like it was very violent, but just like the energy of like a dark room, like people just crowded into a space just like throwing down, it's just like very inspiring. I think I learned a lot of what I wanted to be later on from what like Ryan, like the owner of Faith Void, like was doing for Toronto. I mean, like shout out to him. Like he has a band called like they're called Shit, like S.H.I.T. They are like very real, and I respect the fuck out of them. I think Ryan did like a lot for the city and showed a lot of kids here like what we can do, you know, to like help ourselves stay local and like stay like true, not like fall into a lot of the industry fuckery that I guess I already have fallen into a little bit, but you know, keeping it real still, you know.
I also just want to go back to you at 12 years old in a mosh situation. Was that not like terrifying?
Yeah, like my sister always tells people this story because it's like hilarious, and I'm like super close to my sister. She like shot the slam dance video and shit. She, like, it was at a time where, like, my parents wouldn't let me to go to shows by myself because I was fucking 12. But, like, I was getting super into, like, whatever, like, fucking pop punk or, like, hardcore stuff was coming out at the time. At the time, like, when I was in, like, middle school, like, my favorite fucking band was Tidal Fight. Like, Tidal Fight was the shit to me. So I went with my sister because my parents, like, made us go together. And, I just remember, like, I never seen, like, a mosh pit or whatever, but, like, the first song they played, like, all of a sudden, I was just getting, like, pushed, like, into the crowd, and I was so small. I was, like, 4'11", probably, at the time, and, like, I lost my sister, like, 5 seconds in, and, like, my sister was just, like, going crazy, like, in some other spot, and I was going crazy in some other spot, but, like, we were having, like, a really, really fun time. And at the end, I was just like, holy shit, like, I need to go to more shows like that. Yeah, and that was at Mod Club. Rest in peace to Mod Club, Toronto. It's gone. But, yeah, that was, like, a super memorable experience. And I think that same weekend, I met Tommy Wiseau randomly at a movie theater with my sister. That was crazy. And Mark from The Room. That was wild. Yeah, it was a good week.
Yeah, really a great week. For those of you just tuning in, you are currently listening to Lab Burn Earl with Valley here on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm currently chatting with Dear God, and here is their song, New Kid on the Block.
Mm-hmm.
was wondering, so you're from Brampton, Ontario. How has that helped or hindered your music career, and how has that influenced your music?
Honestly, like, it's been like a huge question of like, for myself, like in the past few years, especially like turning, I guess, into like my 20s, of just like being like, who am I? Like, where did all my personality traits come from? What really started this? And like what inspired all this? And really just like thinking about that and like taking it in. And I think Brampton like was a huge, huge inspiration for who I am, because you have to like know what Brampton is to like, I guess, understand it and who I am, I guess, because it's like Brampton is like a suburb outside of Toronto, but it's like there's other suburbs outside of Toronto, like Richmond Hill and stuff like that, that have like really, really nice new like fucking suburban houses that are like upper middle class. And Brampton has some of that, but Brampton is kind of like an old suburb. Brampton isn't a super white suburb. Like, there is a lot of different, I guess there was like a lot of immigration to Brampton. So like growing up, there was like a huge range of like different cultures in Brampton. And so like, I don't know, like, I guess like I grew up with kind of like just having a bunch of friends around me that were like from different places, that were like South Asian, that were like had parents that were from Africa or like the Caribbean and stuff. Like, so I feel like, I don't know, like musically already from a young age, I was hearing stuff that everyone else was listening to, and we could like bond over like music shit that was like popping at the time, that like I guess was like there was like a lot of hip hop that I grew up with, and all my friends were listening to a lot of like hip hop that was coming out, and we could bond over that. And I guess like I got a lot of like my hip hop inspiration from Brampton, just because that's what everyone listens to there, right? Like, everyone there like is really trying to like rap or like beat make. There wasn't really a scene for bands there, you know? Me and my friends right now, I feel like my close friends like really like kind of started a scene there that hadn't really existed for a very long time. But that was just because like Brampton is super, super like into like hip hop. Like, that's the Brampton thing. It's like the fucking like Drake Toronto inspiration. Like, all Brampton kids like wanna like be a part of that, I guess. And they can identify with that. So I guess just from a young age, I was just like super on that, just because it was just what I was around all the time. And then as I grew up, I was like I was playing instruments and I was like learning instruments. Like, I was listening to like a bunch of different genres. And then when I got older, it was like I got to high school and I went to the school called Mayfield. This was like north of Brampton. This is like Caledon. So this is just kind of like really, really rich kid territory. Like Caledon's full of just rich kid mansions, like on like ranches and shit. Like, there's a lot of just like rich kids that I went to school with for high school, but I only went there because it was an art school. Like, I would like bus like an hour to get there, just because like it was like, I guess like I thought I would play more drums, but like we did a lot of percussion and they had like really good jazz bands and shit there, so I went to school because of that. But it was really weird. It was like a weird culture shock going there, because like, it's like being with kids that aren't from Brampton, it's like, whoa, it's like now I'm with a bunch of rich like white kids. And like some of my friends that came from Brampton with me, I guess, like that also were from like different schools around Brampton that I met in Mayfield, like I feel like we all just like connected totally differently than like we could to like other kids in the school that were like fucking, that acted like Valley girls and Valley boys and shit. And we all connected, and we all shared like an interest for like music, and for like kind of like I guess just like the hip hop that was like really popping at the time. And we really just like wanted to like be a part of it, and like we wanted to like party, and we were just trying to make like tracks and like hang out with other kids that shared our interests. So we started like we torrented like some software, and like we just like were teaching each other how to like beat make and how to rap. Then I found like some other rappers through other like kids I knew at Mayfield that were from Brampton. Like, this group called Way Cool was like a huge, huge inspiration for me and my friends, like when we were in high school. Like, this kid like Boy Blue, like there were like certain kids that were kind of like popping off in like SoundCloud that were like making like hip hop and R&B and like alternative shit. And we connected with them, and like they were super welcoming. We started like hanging with them, like learning from them, like sending each other shit. And then it was kind of just like, so I was like just like making like rap music. I was making beats and it just experimenting and having fun with it. And then also I was like messing around with like super like hardcore stuff, like punk stuff, like garage rock shit. Like, and then at a certain point by the end of high school, I was just like, why don't I just like kind of try to fuse these two things together because they're already so natural. And like, it's what I grew up around anyways. This is like who I've always been. It's been like this mixture of like the Brampton like hip hop influence and then just like fucking like the Much Music like rock influence that my sister like showed me when I was a kid. And then like those kind of merge for Dear God. And it was never like me trying to be like nu metal. Like that was never like the goal at any point. I mean, there's certain bands that I really, really love and like I can't deny like the influence, like Rage, for example. But like I was never trying to go for like a Korn sound or like a Deftone sound or anything like that when I first started. What happened was because of those influences, like when they like just like came together, it created this thing that I guess like was reminiscent of like nu metal, because all it is just like in like putting that hip hop influence on like some, I guess like rock, right? So that's I guess like what I am and how that came to fruition. And so I could definitely credit Brampton and well, not Brampton, but like the people in Brampton for like everything that I have now. You know what I mean?
Thank you for tuning in to La Bonne Heure here on CITR 101.9 FM. Right before we get back into the interview, here is Dear God's song, Slam Dance.
But a face not there, but the screen looks stunning and it feels right. I see the This quarter, that free magazine from CITR has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
And can you tell me a little bit about how the name Dear God came to be?
I mean, it's kind of like cringy to me at this point. I mean, I hate, like, I feel like people are going to learn this soon enough. I fucking hate everything I do, you know? Like, I'm very, like, pessimistic about my shit. And I'm, like, not, like, super, super, I guess, like, the most egotistical artist, you know, sometimes. Sometimes I really love my shit, but, you know, sometimes I hate it. But, like, with the Dear God thing, it was, like, I mean, with names, when I was younger and when I was choosing shit, it was always kind of just, like, whatever sounded cool, you know, whatever I could, like, feel was, like, a cool thing. But, like, Dear God came from, like, there was, like, a few songs that I knew that said that, and it was something I just wrote down because I thought it was cool. You know, like, Tupac said it in, like, Outlaw, and what was that other song? God Bless the Dead. And, Snoop said it, too, in, what is it? There's a song, there's, like, an old Snoop song, too, that says it. But anyways, I just was, like, this sounds, like, tight, and also, like, I guess I was thinking, too, a lot about, like, how I connect with religion at the time. I mean, I was a baptized, like, Catholic, but I'm not super, like, religious. I don't know. Like, it was just, like, something I thought, like, was cool and stood out. It was a good statement. It works like, yo, if you're saying, like, Dear God, what the hell is this shit? Or if you're, like, or if you're just, like, dear, like, I don't know. Like, Dear God, I need some help, you know? Like, it can be used in, like, many ways. It's just, like, kind of, like, a statement thing. But, I mean, is it cringy that I took it from a Tupac lyric? I would say so. But we're just too far, you know, to go back. And I'm sorry, Tupac, that this happened to your legacy. But we're here, you know. I mean, like, the Rolling Stones did that, I guess. Like, their name's after, like, a Muddy Waters song, you know. And I guess, like, that's kind of cringy, too. But, keep it rolling, you know, learn new things, you know. see what's up.
You recently released a cover of Be Quiet and Drive Far Away by the Deftones. I was wondering why you chose that song and what makes your version different from the original.
Okay, so this was before I found out the guitarist was a flat earther. Actually, you know what might have happened? I think I was making my own song and then, like, it sounded like that song. Like, the chords were the same chords, and I was just like, why not just fucking make it into a cover, you know, instead of stealing the song, that'd be a better idea. And so I made it into a cover, and I guess it's very different because of like, because it was produced in that way, you know, because it was just like I wasn't trying to make it, and I made it, and I tried to make everything pretty much completely different. Like, every part of that song sounds like pretty fucking different than the original. It's a lot more laid back. It's a lot more, like, I guess, gothic and shit.
You've mentioned being inspired by lots of different genres, and I was wondering how each of those genres are represented in your music.
There is so much shit that I listen to that it's, like, hard to keep track of, but, like, I need to credit these people, you know? I listen to a lot of genres, too, sometimes that I'm, like, you won't hear in my music, but, like, it's whatever, like, really, really, like, I'm 100% feeling at the time. Like, if you're talking, like, reggaeton, there's, like, a lot of old shit that's, like, really fire. Like Tego Calderon is, like, super crazy. Like, the new shit, like, the new Dominican shit is, like, super, super inspiring to me, like Buck and New Kid, like those hooks and stuff, like those were like inspired by like Dembo, like El Alfa, like that style of like Dominican, like it's like kind of like almost like fast reggaeton, like that just like is super repetitive and just goes super hard in the club. That's what was like playing all the time when I was in Chile, and like when we were in the clubs, it just like went off. I fucking love that shit. What else? For the EP, there's like some post-punk influence on some shit, like on Love In It, I guess he was pretty post-punky, you know. Got some like Talking Heads, some like Crack Clouds, some like different like cool shit. You know, obviously there's like that like King Cruel, like Show Me the Body influence. Like those are some of my favorite artists out right now. Just like a whole, every day I find something that I'm like, whoa, this like sounds like in my realm, and like I didn't even know this existed, and this sounds like some shit that like I would have made, but like it was made 20 years ago. And I love finding shit like that. There's like some Queens of the Stone Age influence, there's like some stoner rock, some fucking what's it called, like Electric Wizard and shit in there. Like I would love, like, I think for that question, I really need to, like, hit a podcast and, like, go through music with someone, you know, just, like, go through, like, all the sick shit that I've been listening to in the past few years, because, like, it needs to be heard. I just, like, hate that I'm, like, taking inspiration from them, but, like, a lot of them, like, don't have the credit, you know, or, like, don't have, like, the audience, or have gotten forgotten in history, you know?
I'm not sure if this is how you like lay it out, but 1-844 dear God, or is it
1-844 dear God. Yeah, that's it. It's all good. You're close. Okay.
So how long were you working on that project before the release?
2 years. A year and a half. And the thing is, like, shit takes a long time with the label to come out, and it sucks. Like, I mean, a lot of those songs I made when I was 17 or 18, and that's why it makes sense that the lyrics are, like, stupid on a lot of the songs, and they're just, like, a lot of shit is just super ignorant, and, like, I guess people can appreciate that sometimes, you know, some, like, stupid kid shit, but, like, you can tell that, like, a lot of the shit was written and made, like, when I was 17, 18. Yeah, like, basically, like, I made those songs all that time ago. A Slam Dance was, like, the newest song, I guess, like, that came out, like, beginning of quarantine is when I made it, but the rest are like older, and I was just trying to get them out so I could just like work on some new shit. Took a long time, put them out, but like I'm ready to like go on to the next shit. Like I have so much goddamn stuff that I want to put out that's like so much better, you know. It's just so much better than that shit. You know,
taking a quick little break from the interview to listen to Dear God's song Buck.
Yeah.
I get it.
Explain some of those themes and topics in the songs of 1844 For Dear God.
Well, first of all, like, if I want to get into that, I should also explain, like, I guess the contrast in how I see things now. I'm the same person, but I see things very differently now. I guess going through it, New Kid, loving it, like, those are kind of like braggy songs. Those are kind of like just like, yeah, hell yeah, finally I'm doing shit, you know, like excited, like excited shit. Like, it's like, there's like a definitely an attitude in like a lot of hip hop that is about that, is about getting somewhere, and I guess that's where I took inspiration from. But as a person, like, now I'm like, I don't take pride in like being above people. I like people being on the same level. I like community. I like equality, you know. It's very braggy, and I think a lot of people can relate to that when they're feeling good. It's like feel good songs. But it's like, now I would probably make a lot more of a pessimistic song about what the real world is and how it's not always good to have more than other people. The other one, I mean, I guess I wrote Buck, like, surrounded by, like, a lot of kids I grew up with that, like, went into, like, some crazy shit when they got older. Brampton's kind of weird like that, but I knew, like, some kids in Toronto, too, like that. Like, a lot of kids in Toronto, like, family, friends, or whatever, like, have gone into, like, a lot of, like, just, like, wild shit. And I guess Buck was about that, and really, like, I mean, like, it's, like, through the lens of, like, a kid like that who's, like, lost, just influenced by, like, all these, like, or, like, all this hyper-masculine media and, like, all these things that are, like, friends at school, like, things, like, telling him, like, you have to be this, you know, you have to, like, puff your chest up and be, like this, like, really, like, big, tough guy. And I've felt a lot of that in my life, you know, like, I surrender myself to, like, certain masculine things because it's, like, just that male aggression that you're taught, you know. It's, like, not, like, being told, like, not to cry, I guess. That's, like, sounds funny when you say it, but it's, like, these things, like, really affect how a kid, 18, 19, like, chooses to, like, go into the adult world, or some kids even younger, you know. Like, I have friends that, like, were, like, 12, 13 when they started doing, like, some really, like, crazy shit. I mean, now I'm, like, I wouldn't write a song like that, or, like, I wouldn't make a song like that just because I'm, like, I just don't fuck with, like trying to, like, glamorize some shit like that. I mean, I wasn't really, like, glamorizing it per se, but it, like, sounds like it's more of a fun song. And I guess that's what I don't like about it, but I could pick at everything in my songs, you know. But at the end of the day, that's all I was, like, trying to say with that song. The Fuck Me Through the Phone, that's just a song about, like, creepy motherfuckers, like internet stalkers, like incels, like that type of shit. Like, I wanted to make a song kind of in the perspective of, like, a young, like, fucking impressionable boy that thinks he's, like, that feels super entitled, that kind of, like gets obsessed with, like, these, like, women online, develops, like, an unhealthy attachment with it, which I think, like, speaks for a lot of people right now. A lot of guys are like that right now in the internet age, and I just thought it was, like, a cool angle to take it at. My criticism with that one, I guess, would be that it's not really about anything, but, like, certain songs can get away with that, you know. Like, certain songs are, like, can be about nothing. I guess I'm just, like, I've turned into, like, a very jaded, like, radical motherfucker now. So it's, like, now I'm, like, super, super, super careful with the shit that I'm, like, saying and putting out. That doesn't mean I won't fuck up. I can't say I'm perfect and I'm going to be perfect forever, but I think I know myself a lot more. You know, like, when you're 17, 18 writing stuff, it's a whole different perspective. At that age, like, obviously, you don't have all your shit figured out, you know? Like, I think I feel like I aged 100 years in quarantine, you know? Like, ever since I started, like, just sitting inside reading all day, like, It's like I've aged so much, and I think intellectually I've aged a lot. And, you know, a lot of that learning came after I became an artist with, like, a team behind me and stuff. So it's like now it's like the time that I really, like, try really hard to say and communicate exactly what I want to say and be, you know.
I know some people often ask, what is your favorite song that you've ever written? But I was wondering if you had a favorite lyric.
Speaking of, like, stupid lyrics, I made a new track, like, just, like, with my friend Noah. He's from this band, like, he plays in, like, a few bands. He's, like, right now he's in this band Real World. He produces in that band, in this band Friction. He's just, like, a hardcore kid. But he came over and we just got, like, super high, and, like, we made this, like, track that's just fucking hilarious. But, like, I would put it out, you know. There's a lot of, like, even though I have shit to say, very serious shit to say, I'm not sacrificing my personality, you know. I have to keep in, like, satire. I have to say things in, like, a way that is me. And this song, there is certain things within it, but it's, like, it's just, like, hilarious at face value. And it's kind of, like, about being a stupid, like, high schooler. It's about, like, just, like, I guess how I feel about that time and who I was. And I guess the song is, like, it's, like, straight up triplets. It's, like, I'm ignorant, I'm an idiot, yeah, I don't do math, I'm an introvert, and my name is Robert, and I hate every class, always getting harassed, I just want to get ass. And, like, that's, like, the fucking verse. It's just, like, the stupidest lyrics I could have thought of. But, like, trust me, that's going to be the biggest banger in fucking North America in fucking 5 years from now. T-minus 5 years.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad you got a little bit of preview.
Yeah. But I have, like, a lot of my shit isn't like that. But, like, I just, like, that's the one that gets stuck in my head all the fucking time just because of how stupid and, like, hilarious it is, you know?
Can we expect that song or any other songs in the near future?
We're dropping, like a bonus track soon that I guess is just kind of, like, a big fuck you to, like, I guess, like, motherfuckers, like, this was, like, pretty centered around, like, I guess the pandemic, but this goes farther. But, like, just, like, stupid motherfuckers just being stupid, you know? Like, and I mean, like, I like a lot of stupid people. I don't think stupid is a bad thing, but, like, a certain kind of stupid, you know, a bigoted, like, one-sided, narcissistic stupid. And that's what I'm aiming at in this next track. So that's coming out soon. Aside from that, might have a mixtape, might have an album for you in the next, like, year or so, you know.
That's exciting. Looking forward to that track and many more as well. Thanks so much for coming in to chat with me today.
No problem.
Go.
My dad is a window cleaner. We are not the same. We're not in the same game. I live in hell. I hide my depression inside. My... what would I hide my depression in?
A jar.
Inside my jar!
That was FMTTP by Dear God. It was lovely getting to chat to them and definitely keeping an eye out for those unreleased tracks as well. Up next, we have a song by Tons. Here is We Stand United.
Say where you've been.
did you fill your days with the wrong kind of medicine? Did you wave goodbye to the side streets of your hometown? You can lose a year, but it can't keep a good man down. It can't keep a good man down. Tell me one night what your life was like. What your life was like. Tell me one night what your life was like. What your life was like. What your life was.
Song was Good Man by Justin Rutledge. Thank you so much for tuning in to La Bonne Heure with Vali today. And to send us off, here it is, I Don't Care Anymore by Jax Anderson and Kay Flay. See you soon. Bye.
Thought that I'd be cooler. Thought that I'd be shining again. Thought that I'd be cooler. Thought that I'd be smarter. Thought that I'd be thinner. Thought that I'd be farther. By the time I was 25, thought I'd have it set in stone. Thought I'd have a cute wife in a house with some big windows. Now I'm here in my apartment with some cat hair on my sweater, drinking day-old coffee, tweeting everything gets better. And my gay panic keeps me up so late. Think I haven't slept in about 100 days. I'm a queer kid, no roadmap. Had to figure it out without falling through the cracks. And they told me to blend in. What's the point in blending in when you can never meet their standards? I'm thinking, I just don't care anymore. No, I just don't care anymore.
Man, not even a little bit.
I just don't care anymore.
In the back.
I just don't care.
Simple. Move out. out of my hometown and become someone different. Booze and noise and girls, boys and smoking, driving in a car. I'm feeling full, full of life, but where the hell I'm headed, I don't know. Feeling all this pain, but I heard you need pain to grow. So now I'm here in my apartment, looking at my girlfriend. Felt like giving up, now I'm in love. It's been a whirlwind, I'm a weird kid. No roadmap, had to figure it out without losing my head. And they told me to blend in, but what's the point of blending in when I don't want to meet their standards?
I just don't care. Just don't care.
Has a lot of problems.
Tell me about it. Just look at our morning guy.
Hello, this is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you. Today, part 4 of our series of the agonizing pain in which I live every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, not the home of Mole Man in the Morning.
Just a couple of gifted children with each other.